All right, Ty, you're holding it down there, so you're gonna have to give the intro then.
I've never done that before, but there we go. Welcome to episode 24. Nice.
24.
Here we have members from 660. My boy Machu, Jai.
Yeah, bro.
Welcome.
Pleasure Thanks, to be here, man. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And we got me mate here. What do we call it?
Thanks for the intro. All right. thanks also, Batuta, for making sure that we set this up so we could keep doing that podcast while I'm overseas. We've got Machu, Jai, and the gold, platinum, all your albums selling now. Yep. So,
yeah, mate.
Killing off at the shows, moment. Mate. New album release.
Yep. Yeah, lots going on, man.
So,
yeah. Where did you just come from?
We've been on the road for a while now, actually, maybe a little over a month. We've been through Europe, UK, about halfway through this Australian tour now. So we came straight from the Gold Coast, just played a show there.
Yep.
And we've got a couple of days here doing press and hanging out in Sydney before we head to finish with Brisbane, then back to Sydney. For some reason we're doing it a strange way. Play Sydney Friday, then Perth on Saturday, and then we go home for a little break.
And then you come back to Sydney.
Go to Brisbane for Thursday,
yeah,
and then come back to Sydney for Friday. Yeah, don't ask me why.
Just, yeah.
Every show's been sold out. Brisbane is the last one to go. And
crazy.
Yeah, amazed by the reception, bro. Like, we've been coming to Australia for a minute, and every time we come, yep, you know, the rooms get bigger, the fans get more feverish, and you know, we pride ourselves on being able to connect, make people, you know, kind of not worry, lose their inhibitions a lot, and feel comfortable to express themselves and feel free. That's what we're trying to create with a 660 audience. And it, you know, the proof's in the pudding. You know, we're selling out shows, and people are coming through, and they're loving the music, and the reactions we feel on stage are exactly what we've been hoping for and been working towards for such a long time. So it's awesome to see it all come to fruition.
And it looks like he's only just starting as well. Like, even though as big as you guys are, it looks like it's only just beginning with the amount of people that are getting behind you guys now.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of a blessing and a curse with us. Like, we always seem to lift the bar every time we achieve something we want to do. We aim for something bigger. So it really does feel like there's some kind of special swell around us at the moment, and not only in Australia, like all the way through Europe. Like, the rooms are getting bigger there, the music's spreading, the fans are just everywhere now. So yeah, it's humbling.
Yeah, well, I think I've been to every show you've had in Australia, and and every time, like I said before, more hongies, just more and more all everywhere, and it's sure, and I think it's a buzz. Like, obviously, I met Mutt through Selby and through fighting and whatnot. But, just to watch yous out there and just, like, watch it get bigger and bigger, I think that's sick. Like, yeah, just to still watch yous now and how many people listen to you now, it's awesome.
But likewise, too. Yeah, likewise with you boys, like, watching you fight, watching, following your journey and following, your improvements and your... And your work as well has been a pleasure for us, man.
Mutual admiration, bro.
Thank you.
Was the stadium in New Zealand, was that the biggest one you guys have done now, the biggest show?
Yep. Yeah, by far. That's 50,000 people in a really crazy, iconic venue back home. Now we're one of four artists to sell out that venue. It's us, Bob Marley, David Bowie, and the Rolling Stones. So cut it out.
What I want to know about, these parties I see back in the days. I've heard a lot about them and whatever else, but I've never got to actually talk to, like, you know, to you guys about it. Mm. But like, those parties I've seen and like what yous were doing, like, what the hell was that? And like,
well,
because I like parties and that shit. I was just like, wow, I wish I was there.
Well, so we all met at in Dunedin at Otago University, which is a city in the South Island of New Zealand. And it's, you know, exists partly because of this university. It's such a big integral part of the city and its kind of existence. Also, a lot of kids get to go down there and they're kind of free from their parents for the first time, you know, like as it happens with university. So people just go wild. The whole kind of the city kind of lends itself to these massive parties, becomes kind of like a student ghetto in a way. And that's kind of part and parcel of your experience in Dunedin. There's a lot of flat parties, you know, couch burnings and just kind of
couch burnings.
Debauchery. Yeah, it's just kind of crazy.
What's that mean?
I think it often gets misconstrued as being like not what it is.
Oh, no, because I'm loving it.
Even though there are a lot of parties, it's a really like warm, friendly environment. You know, like light a few couches on fire, but you know, we have a good hug afterwards. You know, yeah.
You can imagine young kids like that away from their parents and fueled by alcohol. You know, you can imagine,
of course,
left
of
alone,
course.
They're going to get up to some debauchery. But it was a good balance, you know, between ambition and drive and trying to achieve stuff, but enjoying yourself.
So what would you do? You just like, obviously, use the band, and what would you do? Just like, fuck, tell everyone, oh, we're playing, we got a party this time, and then what,
you jump like on the roof,
right. I'm talking those days, like back when I used to watch, and just there'd be like everyone, user on the roof, and just like rocking out, like. Shit looks like a movie, but I talk to other people and they're like, nah, that's like real life happening.
We used to quite often, we'd drink at a pub down the road, and our flat 660 on Castle Street was actually on one of the main streets that a lot of the students used to, you know, drink on and hang out on, but and also live on.
Yeah.
So we were kind of central to a lot of young kids that were there and in the same boat as us, and we'd quite often play shows at our flat, and quite often people would just come in from the pub, friends of ours, friends had been friends, you know, that was really how it all began. And
you reckon that's how you built your solid, like
100%, that's where it started.
We are a real product of the culture down there, you know. It's like, you know, you're young and trying to make it, and aspiring for big things, but then you have this party culture. And when we found each other through music, we were all on different paths. You know, there's no intent of us being in a band, or let alone being successful. It was like we're going down to just be at university, and we found ourselves. You know, a bunch of us played rugby together, and you know, our musical experience was jamming the guitar in the changing rooms afterwards. You know, had it lived in the same dorm as Jai, and that turned in us like going to a room and having a jam and. Really about the feeling that music gave us and what the city kind of felt like, this party atmosphere, this like just being free and expressive. Yeah. And that just built into, in our second year, we moved into 660 Castle Street. And Castle Street is this famous flatting street in Dunedin. And we made a makeshift studio in one of the rooms and we're just, you know, drinking jam, and that's what it was. You know, it was about having fun, you know. There's really no intention of doing anything. We were just slowly falling in love with this thing, this game that is music, and that would turn into, you know, at the pub, invite people back to the house and do a little show for them, and then that would turn into flat parties and grow into into bars. And it really was this natural progression. And honestly, if our entire career now, we're just kind of going off people are wanting more, and we're reacting to the thing. Even our name, we were living in 660 Castle Street, and people just started talking of us as the 660 boys.
Yeah.
And so we were, you know, we were named by the people.
By the peoples.
And then we're trying to create that environment for people to come and feel together in a show. That same feeling you might feel when you're like just in the garage playing the guitar.
Yeah.
We're trying to create that environment on a larger scale. And really the people have dictated where this whole thing has gone.
It's interesting because, like, we to this day we are the people's band, and to kind of look back at the reasons why we got together and why we did it in the beginning, we're still kind of the same. You know, we met because we were friends and we were playing rugby together, and I think in some ways that is our superpower. You know, like these core things that we started with are only exemplified now. And yeah, it seems to really ring true.
I hope he's weren't as good as rugby as you are, buddy.
We can play.
Like you said, your intent wasn't to do music. Like, what you seem like very deep guys. What were you studying at uni? Like, it wasn't music that you're studying.
No, actually, Jai and I were both denied from the music school in Dunedin.
Fuck you, that school. Yeah. Shame.
So, so we kind of bonded on this.
They always walk past the school, just do this slow.
Which is obviously hilarious. So we bonded on it. Yeah. We bonded on a kind of mutual failure. But, you know, we're all there to, I studied law actually. And, one of the boys, engineer. Yeah, I got my degree. Made sure I finished that. Jai was doing design, as an engineer in the band, one did computer science, and Chris, the bass player, is just a dropout. But, you know, it's like that, none of us knew what we wanted to do. I knew that if I was going to go to university, I wanted to do something that when I came out, I had something tangible. I wasn't just, I wanted, university, has its flaws as well. I mean, if it's not to be a doctor or a lawyer, you can get every other educational experience through life trying to be like marketing or some shit. But we knew that whatever what we wanted to do, we wanted to be good the best at it. And we've had this drive and this desire to be great.
Yeah. I think the moment we decided to do it, for real, we all kind of galvanized around that collective point of doing whatever we're going to do, we're going to do it really well.
Yep.
And I think that's really important as well.
Of course.
For sure. Every person that we've spoken to that we've had success in whatever they're doing, it's always been that picking one thing and just going 100% at it rather than, and it's cool that all five of you were able to get together on that point. Mm. Have you had time to reflect on coming back to it? Like where it's all come from and where it started. Like after this touring, do you get time to rest and look back on it, or is it straight back to work?
There's always work to do, bro. And we're always looking for stones to turn over and what more we can do to get better. But and to be honest, we've actually gotten better at reflecting and celebrating. We set aside time for that purpose because it's important to reflect and know where you got to know where you've been to know where you're going. And we used to just have our heads down and work and work and work and. I can imagine it with training. If you just head down and you're just busting your ass all the time and don't consider about taking breaks and having a rest and reflecting, then you're just going to burn out. And the same thing happens in music and being creative. You have to you have to sit behind the jab, and look for openings and not just swing haymakers 100% because you're going to get caught and get found out. So, at the beginning it is, you're just like balls to the wall, swinging haymakers, trying to just knock doors down. And then get to a point where you just run out of gas.
Yeah.
And then with that comes a whole other lot of problems, and you have to reassess everything. So we become a lot better at, jabbing our way in and picking our moments and making
we have
impact.
I've run out of gas a few times.
Yeah. And that's part of the learning process too, no regrets on that. That's how you learn. So
you got to go through it to understand it. And
100%.
And you do, there are different ways to look at it. In the past you think taking off the gas is stopping, but really it's time for growth and reflection. Mm. And as Mutt said, I think we've gotten a lot better at not only doing that, but understanding why we need to do that.
What the fuck? It sounds like he's got he's got it all sorted out to me. shit. All goods to me, yo. It's a hands up for me. Shit.
There's always stuff to do, man. By no means do we think that we're... we're very
and with the band, there's five of you. There's one person, right? I don't really know much about music and this and that, but how does that work? There's one person, right? There's five of you's, right? Does everyone just does someone pop up one day and be like, oh, this sounds good? How does that all go? How does that all work?
Well, it's been different over the years, but recently it's been whatever ideas have come out, like Mutt and Marlon have kind of taken it and either developed it or worked with writers around the world. And Yeah, no, just done incredible jobs and pushing our music and our sound to the level that it's at now.
Mm. The writing process has just developed, just like every other part of our other part of what we do. At the beginning, it was, you know, like sitting in a room all together and doing this thing. And but what we found happened there is we become almost reliant on each other for your output. And then if you don't, if people work on completely different timelines and mental structures, and people, the way they work is completely different and it doesn't line up. So what's happened now is we've actually tried to celebrate everyone's differences a lot more and support each other in their own personal journey, because we, you know, we're only as strong as the individual.
Yeah.
So if we can try and create an environment where people can be the best they possibly can be, then it's only going to, it's only going to help this bigger thing, you know, and not rely on anyone, not just labels and management and everyone, you know, we have to steer the ship and you have to steer it individually. Jai has to steer his own boat. I have to steer my own boat. Yep. Chris has to steer his own boat. And if we, then the only goal, only job that happens is making sure we're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then it's fucking game over, bro. Where it's just on powerful, from there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
You can't really mess with that.
More minds are better than one.
Does that mean that there's like the individual songs where they've written the whole thing and that's like their story, but you're the one singing the words? Do you know what I mean? Actually, like,
That's definitely happened before, where Jai or Marlon have written a song and I'm singing it.
Yeah.
But it's just whether it's, you feel it and it's convincing and there's a spark in there that you believe in. Yeah. And it doesn't really matter who writes it. You know it when you feel it and you're like, this is just a mean song, and you're gonna sit.
He's got me thinking of like Bohemian Rhapsody. Have you watched it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Fuck, maddest movie.
Yeah.
Boom,
boom, boom. Yeah.
That, acting like I'm in a band.
But it's worked out that way. You know, we used to think that we had to have one mind, but no, we have to have five minds working, just moving in the same direction. And it offers you so much more variety.
Yeah.
So much more freedom in the work.
Yeah. I think like the journey has been learning to work as a team and understanding like it's different, I think, for fighters and in some regards, because it's just, and I say this with the utmost admiration, it's just you in the cage or you in the square circle.
Yeah.
You know, so
keep a fighter's mentality, really. You're alone in it, you know.
Yeah.
No one else is responsible for your happiness or your work ethic.
Yeah, so we've had to learn how to not only be, I think, fighters as individuals and whatever we view that as, but also collectively as a team and how helping a team work is a journey in itself and something we're definitely better at now.
Oh yeah,
and but a continuous journey, you know, like
oh yeah,
you know, bad times, bro. It's always got to go through them.
I could just imagine like a group of five boys. Yeah. There'd obviously be disagreements and whatnot, and of course, these are friends.
Mm.
You know, there's always going to be, you know,
and you hate arguing with your mates. Bad arguments anyway. Yeah. But it's a journey, man.
Any like mad band ones, or you just
we've had big ones,
big ones, yeah. What just everyone just lose it.
Yeah, just because we didn't know how to, you know, you didn't know how to communicate. You didn't have the skills to deal with situations like that.
Yeah.
And you didn't have the maturity to set your ego aside and actually take criticism because you know that it's for the right reasons. We all want to be the shit, but we want to be the biggest band in the world and we want it to work out. And we used to think, look at all these external things. We need this and we need this and we need this. And then the list of things we need are just piled up and it's like a Jenga set would just tip over, you know. And we work really hard to just simplify those goals we want. It's really simple. We just need to stick together, allow each other the space in the room to be themselves, and the rest really takes care of itself. Like, I can imagine, you know, like if you just, all your goal is today is to get to the gym, then the rest will take care of itself, you know. Your daily list shouldn't be, I need to do this much time on the bag and this much sparring rounds and then these push-ups and sit-ups. It's like, it can be simple as one thing, go to the gym, and then I'll end up just doing all the stuff I need to do because I know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
Yeah.
Just try and get there, Ty.
You put yourself... Yeah.
Have you put yourself gym today, Ty? Have you been to the gym?
Awesome, why are you laughing?
No, that's really cool. What?
I'm sweating to do.
Yeah, I'm sweating too.
Hot in the hot in here, bro.
Okay, now.
I'm good, eh? Hot,
yeah. you're skinny.
Little boy.
Yeah.
Little kid over here.
You know, the other thing we've realized too is that we are massive fight fans, you know, like
just about to bring that up. I don't know if a lot of your fans know or a lot of other people know that you actually will punch the fuck out of most people that I know, because I've trained with you before, and smart as can sing and punch the shit out of you. So watch yourself, everyone.
And yeah, and your women.
So,
shut up.
But so with the fighting stuff, how did you get into? You're such a big fan of boxing that I know, and how did you get into that? I know your family's.
Well, my dad would just kind of take us. He's not a fighter, but you know, he did it for fitness.
Yep.
And then he just, because we were younger, would take us to the gym and.
Yep.
As if, you know, your dad's training in the corner, you're stuck in the gym, you ended up
learning
some things and having to spar when you're a kid and stuff. And that was like a real, I only remember it as being like the scariest experience, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing quite like fighting, because you really are alone in that thing, and it's quite easy to get found out. Even particularly the mental side of things, it really shows up in your the way you carry yourself and you know, how, you know, it's like... I just fell in love with the fighting spirit and what it takes to be great at the thing, you know, and sport in general, really, but fighting really stuck out as one because it really is standalone.
Jai, you getting there for something?
Yeah. So I was actually really feel privileged from my journey through boxing and martial arts and. Everything I've been through. Mud actually got me into it probably shortly after we met, and I'd attribute a lot of my strengths now to my time in the boxing gym, and as Mutt was saying, like, we see so many similarities between what we do in fighting, you know, just the simple idea of walking out on a stage and facing something that scares the shit out of you is something I think that a fighter can relate to, and a fighter and everyone can relate to, and I think spending time in the boxing gym, spending time jiu-jitsu, any martial arts, just not only gave me like a sense of confidence, but also a calm and intense moments that I don't think I would have found anywhere else. So I'm a huge fan, man. I'm probably
it's actually kind of cool to hear from like people. Oh, sorry.
No. I was just asking, do you guys like rituals? Like, I know a lot of fighters and stuff have rituals before they're walking out onto the stage. Do you guys go through?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, my fight day, game day, show day is really about becoming as calm as possible. I like to put myself in an environment where I'm happy and I already know everything I'm going to know. That day, you know, so for me it's about feeling good and enjoying it.
Yeah,
so I like to laugh, I like to play a bit of PlayStation with the boys, I like to.
Are some musicians different? Is it like I would think like it's kind of like a thing, like that's what people want to do, you know what I mean? Do some people act different? They get like real nervous, or do they get everyone's different.
I think everyone's different, man. Yeah. Like for me, it is that, you know, it's just getting to a place of happiness and calm. You know?
Oh, backstage, you should see some shit. should see some shit happens backstage, man. It's like some people, you just look at them like, why are you here? Why you want to do this? Like some of them look like they're actually going to die before they walk out. You're like,
right.
Why? It doesn't look fun.
Yeah,
but you know, then they go out there and they fucking just kill their shit. They're just like, they're just the best fighters. You're just like, wow, fuck, you didn't expect that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
So everyone's kind of different.
What's your process?
Oh fuck, I'm happy. I don't get to train anymore. I'm like, you know, I just want to fight.
Yeah,
but I love. I think that's why I do it. I love the fight. I love the walking out. I love I like the pressure.
Yeah,
like I like the fact that you're gonna win or lose.
Mm.
Obviously, you know, it's good when you win.
Yeah.
Shit when you lose, but I think that's the rush. Yeah, I like that. Like, I think that for me is a fight.
Yeah.
You're either gonna. Yeah, that for me is. I think that's why I do it. So.
do you get any so you don't like to train as much as the fight?
I don't like to say I don't like to train. It's just more like I would write if someone to say, do you want a training session or do you want to like actually punch someone?
Yeah, gotcha.
We're fighting.
Yeah.
Do you spar a lot then?
I don't think as much as I should.
Because I know there's like...
Why can't he laugh?
Because I know like...
Ty's the worst sparrer that I've ever met.
The worst sparrer. I'm not going to lie.
Why? What makes
it
worse?
Look at me. I'm sweating sparring over here. Yeah.
What makes you... Why? Because you...
I think that... I don't know. I think I just... Sometimes I just take it too...
You're trying to fight in like, the sparring.
I can fight good. My sparring shit.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
It's like weird. It's like he doesn't want to hurt people in there because it's like if he turns the fight on, you know what I mean? He's going to hurt them. So he almost just turns off completely.
Yeah, I kind of can't play with that line. Yeah. I'm either going to fight you.
Yeah.
I'm growing. I'm getting better. I think now I'm learning. I have to get to it. Like I have to push myself different ways to get you know, as what you do, you have to some things that I have to like that thing for me, I get in trouble a lot because I don't spar good. Yeah, but now I have to like my mind's different now. I think that next year what I'm going to do is I'm going to approach it different.
That's awesome.
Because I've obviously had a few, you know, losses, so
yeah.
I'm not winning. I got to do something to get better.
Yeah. You know the reason I ask cuz like James Toney would only spar for his training.
It's all and now look at him.
If I guess, yeah. Now look at him. But you know that what I learnt is that I know that here's this grand thing that I want to be. I don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah.
I just I know it's my potential. Basically, what is the best I can possibly be?
Mm.
And I don't know where that. It doesn't matter where that sits in relation to other people. I don't care about being compared to others. The goal is to be the best version of myself as possible. And I learned that nothing changes if nothing changes, you know?
Yeah.
If I continue down the same track and don't try to change anything, then I'm destined for the same thing over and over again. And fuck that, because it's just, you know?
You just keep
doing the same thing. That's why I'm in NZ at the moment. But mainly because of one of our acquaintances. That's why I brought up the mental side. Yeah, I brought up the mental side because it was actually Selby that started teaching me. He took me to Thailand and taught me about all the mental side of fighting. And, you know, he's a very deep dude. And I was like, guessing that's why we're acquaintances. And I like all that really deep mental side that you have. It looks like you guys put towards everything. Acquaintance.
Mm.
Can I get that in a sentence?
What did you say?
Yeah. Well, I mean, respect for getting after it. You know, like that's... there's a thing I dislike about how we talk about people and how you are just what you are and like, you know, if you are, this is your character and this is what you are and that's what you'll be all the time. You know, even like star signs do that thing. It's like, I'm an Aries and that's like, everyone just thinks that I'm an Aries and I'm just have this character about me. It's just bullshit. Yeah. The best thing about being human is our ability to change ourselves.
Yeah.
And to develop and grow, and if, you know, if more people who can realize that and know that,
I think I saw like a funny meme, like something like that, like, you know, someone, it's because I'm this star sign. It's like, no, it's because you're a bitch.
Yeah. People need excuses, you know.
Yeah,
and I think outlets like that just only inflate that view that it's not up to you to change, it's something external.
Yeah.
Mark kind of touched on it before, like our everyone's battle is an internal one. So it's how you can reach your potential, you know, and whatever blocks you're putting in front of you to stop you doing that are really your own fault, and the quicker you get to that, the quicker you'll progress.
I totally agree with you. It's like I say the same to a lot of people where I'm from. Like, it's easy to just go on and be like, oh, we're from here.
Mm.
Or my dad doesn't do this. Or, you know, my dad wasn't there. Or my mum wasn't there. Or this and that. It's like, everyone can kind of, like, that's just an excuse. You're just grabbing onto something to explain why you're not going to do well. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm like, and that's why I say to a lot of my people, you know, I've lost a lot of people over time just because of, you know, bad decisions or choosing something that was worth more than at that time. You know what I mean? Mm. So... But I look back and like that, like you're saying, you know, like you just people just trying to grab onto something, yeah. you know,
yeah.
just so they don't fall and hit themselves. They just yeah. want to try and grab onto something and bring someone down. Or,
yeah, you don't want to handle the shame of the yeah. failure. No, it's fair, really.
But, yeah, but once you cop it on the chin, you realize that. Yeah,
you realize it's not
only,
that bad.
It's not that yeah. bad. You only have to change.
Straight up.
It's like taking the first punch. You're like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Mm.
Unless it was a real yeah. bad one.
Depends on the punch.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's throwing it. Like,
yeah.
Did we fight?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Maybe the first jab. You know, that's yeah. a better description.
Well, I feel like I just performed a fucking set at 660. It's hot in here. I don't know what you're... Are it's you hot, in the air con there, Tice, or... You all good?
Nah, bro, there's no aircon. I don't know why, but every apartment I've been to in New Zealand so far, they don't have aircon.
Maybe because it's always cold over here. Yeah, there yeah, all bro. The time.
No, it's hot here at the moment. It's hot.
Oh, is it?
Nah, it's hot here at the moment.
It can get hot.
Yeah, I'm dripping.
Bro, you can't even see in Sydney right now. Out in Penrith, you can't even see down the road. I think the fires are on the river, so they're going. Oh, it's pretty smoky. Mm. It's smoky yeah. as that Elway. You can't even see. So
it was real smoky.
Did you say the fires are all the way to the river?
But they're on the dam. They're on the Warragamba Dam. That's our main water supply, and that's 20 minutes from us. So
crazy.
They're still burning.
Oh fuck yeah! Jesus. Fucking on fire. Like our whole country's fucking on fire.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I don't know. I see some shit like the. They're not paying the fireys and shit like that. Is that right? Sort of, kinda. No, who knows? I don't know. You know that politics shit, man. I don't get it. But take my hat off to all the firefighters, man. Much love to all you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kiwis have come over too to help.
Yeah, I've been seeing some Americans and Canadians yeah. and some Kiwis. Yeah,
it's terrible, man.
Man, it's fuck. It's full on. Well, you're here. You can see. You yeah, can, it's mm. fucking. Like and we're in Sydney, so like. Yeah. We're like near the water. We're on the water.
Yeah. Well, like I said, in Gold Coast, it was real.
Smoky too?
Smoky, yes. Mm. I assume it was the fires, but you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, I think.
Crazy red sunset from all the all the smokes. So, yeah, real tragedy.
Fuck. Shout out to all them people.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it the Batuta boy saying that it's like some of the fires or something that start them, the volunteers? They're like, they've got a lot of fire bugs in there. Like some of them are like a lot of man-made, just as arsonists.
Oh, like dude, starting them.
I just saw this article on the way here. This 13-year-old kid got charged for murder or manslaughter because he started a fire and it fucking burned the 69-year-old or something like that.
Crazy,
Jesus!
Well, fucking little fuckers, put the fucking shit down. Why are you fucking out there lighting fires?
You know where they need to go? They need to go to the boxing gym.
They need to go get a hiding. Fucking little shit.
Yeah, solve a lot of problems, man.
Fuck. Big time.
Well, you think Australia's clued up at the danger now, right? So it's like that kid wouldn't have known.
Yeah. But I think some of the cases, like they know that the fires are happening, and they're like, oh fuck it, we'll just go start another one.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just
it's crazy.
Little cunts.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Need good hidings.
Can I run to the bathroom?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it.
Do you need to read? Like, I watched Drumline once.
Yeah,
is that a thing? Like, you have to know how to read music.
You don't,
to
definitely
actually,
don't have to.
You don't have
you don't,
to.
Don't have to at all. But it just, I guess, like provides you different kind of skills. You know, like sometimes I wish I knew the kind of math of it all.
Mm.
Being like, okay, I'm at this chord, and if I add, you know, like
it's
all there. But no, it's all kind of done by feeling, and it means we get a different outcome. I think because we approach music differently. Not thinking too much about how it makes sense in terms of chords and structures, but I think a lot about the effect that it's going to have on people and how it'll make them feel and the experience they're going to have.
Have you started getting trained now, like vocally and like as it's gotten? No. Wow,
just got it, G.
Got it, hey.
Yeah.
Nah, G.
I don't know. I've just been singing for as long as I can remember.
I've shown you a few things.
Yeah, you taught me a few things.
You know,
I
was also untrained.
I got that.
Imagine if I was trained. Imagine.
Yeah, well, there's that potential there, bro. You can tap into.
I don't want to really go.
Maybe
over.
You can sing.
Stop making excuses, bro. Go be that singer.
You can sing yourself. First guy to sing themselves into the room.
Woo!
you know I would do some shit like that.
I remember you came, what'd you come out to that, was it ding ding ding
ding ding? Yeah.
Singing that, making my way downtown. Oh, legendary shit.
See, he wasn't even singing it sound better than what some shit I would do.
Fuck. But no, I've just been singing for as long as I can remember, so I had my training in that. Like, I've just done it a lot.
Yeah.
So I've been training. My whole life.
Yeah.
It's just it's reps, you know. Like,
yeah.
Muscle memory.
We work reps instead of, like, it definitely, they are different people, the classically trained people and us.
Yeah.
But you know, it does provide us a different perspective on music, and it does have its limitations, but I also think it has massive I guess potential for us to really tap into what people want. Because we think about music in terms of how it makes people feel.
Mm.
And I think, that's a really good thing.
100%.
One of my favorite songs, I just need to ask, So High, who who read that?
This Marlon and I worked with this producer in New York.
Yeah.
And, that just came out in one session.
One. So you just...
Did that one day.
What, the whole song?
Yep.
Yeah. Fire out.
Fuck off.
Well, you know, all
your songs. That's my favourite song. What do you mean? You just did that? You didn't even think about it?
Not really.
were you high?
No, I wasn't at that time.
Oh. The best songs. Yeah, sometimes the best songs do, though. Yeah, like, often the ones that take the least resistance.
And what is the fastest song that you, as a band, has, like, or anyone, like, what is the fastest song you've done?
A couple of hours, I think. Comes together pretty quick.
Yeah. What's that song? Do we not remember?
On our EP, the song called Rivers.
Fuck off.
That was like 3 hours, I think, 2 hours.
He's a fucking kidding.
But you know, then there's other songs that took like a year, bro. You know, it took ages to try and fight out. And you had to work uphill against it. But you know, you can't have one without the other. It's like the reason you get those songs that happen in an hour is because you've done all those, that hard work and that graft, you know? So,
man,
how crazy closer is that, man? That's so.
Yeah. But every songwriting experience is different. We try and work. We talk a lot about breaking down the walls. No boundaries. No limitations. You know, knowing how to read music itself is a limitation in a way, because you're confined to the schooling you've had, you know, just the way school does to people. Actually, you go to school and you're just being trained
molded. You've been molded, limited, but a bit, a big and thing we
to learn that way.
Yeah, and then it's really hard to break out of those things. That's what your upbringing is. You're just, when you get to a point that you're like, I am just these things I've been told. You're being domesticated. And then,
that's the one.
Yeah, and then part of your growing up is being aware and realizing your domestication and what are those things that the characters you have because of those things they've been put in you, and then going about breaking them down so you can truly be free, because you know, creativity is what we love, and we don't want it to be stifled by anything, you know. And fighting is a creative prospect too. Is why I think I love it so much, because to be great at music, and I can imagine being great as a fighter, you need to know how to throw a jab and throw combinations and where you put your footwork. You need to know all the details, and you need to know them so much that you can forget about them, you know. It's like when you get into the ring and you just fly off inhibitions and you just flow. You're just
flowing.
Same with music. It's like why we kind of transcend to so many styles and genres is because we didn't come in here to try and be a reggae band or a rock band. It's like, nah, fuck that. We're a band.
Yeah, yeah.
We're creatives. We're musicians, and we write music, not reggae music, not rock music. It's people's music. What we're trying to write.
It's funny because we at our shows a big point of ours is people kind of dropping their inhibitions and just being who they are. Like, you know, fuck like who you're trying to be, like just be who you are. And I think we bring that right down into our music process. Like our goal is not to have a genre. It's just to do what we want to do and the best music possible. And kind of abolishing those limitations, not only in our own mental state, but from our fans' mental state as well, is is a really cool like ambition of ours.
I think he's doing a great job at it. Yeah. Like, I was just gonna ask that, like, what genre do you, because I know most of your songs.
Yeah.
And these are kind of like, you know, like you said, you one reggae, like kind of feel, one just straight.
But I guess, like, why not? Yeah. Why not write a country song, you know?
I'm all on it and I love it. I think that's what makes you, I think that's why, even like, even looking from the, like from the crowd in when I go to your concerts, it's not one type of people. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just Islanders or just New Zealanders. It's just everyone, all different types of people. You know, you see like skatey dudes, you see like, you know, everyone. And I think that's cool that you can bring all that in just into one spot. And
but that's music, you know, like that. But it should be experienced by everyone in the way they want to experience it. And to put a label on it or confine it to certain things, which people try to do, I think is limiting.
Yeah.
We're just trying to write good music.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a danger when you're trying to do something, because you're not, it's important, it's very important not to be a biter and just trying to be something and not, you know, I'm just trying to, like, here's the thing I've been influenced by, I'm just trying to be the next fucking whatever. Same with fighting sound music. But that's how you start, right? You emulate
something. You
copy people.
Yeah.
And then but it's also equally important not to not do things out of spite, you know. I don't want to be like, I'm going to do this because I don't want to be a genre.
Yeah.
It's as damaging and as risky as it is too. You just want to do everything with love, really, and be open and just trying to be good. Just trying to do something that's good. And those things will really shine through, I think, because that's when things become real genuine. Because even if you're doing something in spite of something, you can see it. It's dangerous. Reeks of being fake.
You can feel it.
Totally.
And, you know, one of the things I learned is that getting that actually isn't a place, you know, where we're working towards, what we're trying to achieve isn't this destination that we're one day we're going to arrive on and be like, we made it,
we did it.
It's really a thing you have to maintain, and it's just like a daily effort, just like being fit, being creative, and being a great artist is about staying in the gym, doing the little things you need to do, and so you're ready at all times. I need to be training this, I need to be training that, train my mind, my body, and my soul. I need to eat right, I need to get my sleep in, you know, I need to keep my relationships going, we need to be good with each other, I need to talk to my mum and shit, you know, I need to be all things at all times if I want to achieve this thing.
I think that's the biggest similarity for my musical journey and fighting and my love of fighting and all martial arts in general, is just the realization of the journey over the destination. So the music, we're not going towards something, we're just we're on the journey.
Yeah.
And we're enjoying the journey and doing everything that's involved. And it's the same with fighting, I think. You know, like, it's a journey and an enjoyable one, you know, and there's lots of lessons and beautiful things that you'll learn along the way that are in fighting and are in music, you know. That,
well, essentially we all get to do what we love. Like, I know we work hard at whatever else, we all have to be good at anything, I think you have to work hard.
Absolutely.
But we do get to do something we love and enjoy.
Yeah.
That's a, I like not being the finished line.
Yeah. Say again, bro.
They're just not being the finish line. That's a big, like, it sounds like it's the same for you guys, and that's what I've found. There's just never a finish line. I think people get complacent when they think that there's a finish line. Like, I'm trying to work towards that, but there's never going to be a finish line. It's always something.
There is no place. There isn't a place. It's just it's now, actually. Yeah. The place is right now.
What is a happy place, though?
Well, I don't know.
Punching someone in the face, bro.
Yeah. I'm sure knocking someone out will feel fucking good. I quite like to do that.
So, we have use a slap.
Had our Mitch James on. Mitch James, was he living with you, Joy?
He was not. I think he's living with Eli, the drummer. Which makes sense. He's definitely not living with me.
Puts him in the rat bag situation, eh?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. He was really cool, but he's touring with you guys as well, isn't he?
Mitch James. Yeah. And he's from Dunedin as well.
Dunedin,
yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a good fellow, man. It's good. Sorry, Tyson.
Oh, man, it's going back. Well, I'm keep cutting yours off, but was he touring? Were you guys with Ed Sheeran as well, or has he been just touring everywhere with you?
he did that show with us and Ed Sheeran. Yeah, we open. Oh, we both open for him. Yeah.
Do you reckon he sits at the back and just does Ed Sheeran's voice sometimes?
Who?
Oh, Mitch. Is he sad? Oh, he's sad. No,
I think he was very influenced by Ed Sheeran.
Nah.
So, yeah. So there's going to be some similarities there for sure.
Yeah, I've been jamming his little Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Sunday jam. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, he's good, man.
Oh, well, the rest of your fella's tour all sold out.
Yeah, everything's gone pretty wild, to be honest, bro.
Sweet.
Crowds are just getting bigger, more and more feverish. And, you know, for people listening, if you want to check out, if you don't know who we are, check out our music. But this album just dropped in 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I can hardly say it's our best work. The stuff we've been, you know, this journey or whatever we've been on, and the things we're trying to become, and the work we're trying to do, and the creatives we're trying to become, it's the best we've put together, and it's the closest to this thing that we've been working towards. A lot more to come, but you know, check it out. It's good.
I know you say there isn't. I know you said there isn't like an end goal, or isn't like that finish line or whatever, but. What is it? What is the time? I know he's just sold out one of the biggest, like you said, he's one of four artists to fill out a fucking stadium. And like, I know there's no finish line or whatever, but where is the time to be like, fuck, you know?
I'm sure that time will just come where, like, you know what, I think we've had enough of this thing, and we'll probably, we're open to this whole thing molding too, you know, we're not just a band either. We just happen to be, doing this thing right now, and I'm sure it can evolve into other things. You know, we've aspirations of owning our own label, harnessing and developing our own artists, and challenging the status quo, you know, because you know, it's a fickle industry, and we've seen the good and bad parts of it, and there's experiences we've had that we don't, you know, we'd like to remove from the experience that artists have and allow them to find the freedom that we think we're staying upon now. So I think we have a lot to give, and for anyone who's willing to listen, we're willing to talk and help grow. You know, who knows where it's gonna go? But this is a lifestyle thing. You know, we've got so much more to do. Yeah, but I just think to sit back and
it's kind of freaky to hear. You know, like, it's inspiring. Good on his knees.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's definitely what we want to do, and particularly in our, you know, for my people back home. You know, and you can, as you're saying, where you're from, and it's, you know. There's a lot of holding people down. There's a lot of tall poppy and a lot of people making excuses why they don't support other people. And being an inspiration is high on the list of things we want to do, because we want people to find their find their music, or find the thing and do something they love and be their own boss, really, because that's where that's where you'll find your your passion, live a passionate life. So cheer. Cheers.
Well said.
Cool. No, that's pretty amazing to hear that. And that's pretty much exactly how I feel, I guess. With that tall poppy, I didn't know, is it like that in New Zealand? Because that's a big thing in Australia. I think it's a middle class society. So, like, you know, in our area, we're not getting taught how to invest or like those sort of lessons from our family. Mm-hmm. So me and Ty have been like figuring that out our own on the road. And yeah, it's weird how families, and you weren't not expecting that from your friends. Has that been a lot with your music? Like being
doubters and obviously. It's really bad in New Zealand, and we had our fair share of it coming through. And you know, we met that with actually quite a lot of anger, because you know, it's like, here's one of your own trying to do something great, and then people are just like behind stabbing you in your back, basically. And we're like, why? We didn't understand it. And then, you know, we've definitely done things out of spite and tried to prove everyone wrong.
Like, that's a growth thing, though. Like, we had to go through that to understand what it was and how to deal with it. And thankfully we did, because now we see it for what it is, which is... it's a shame, really, that it's so rife.
And that's the culture we're trying to change and trying to influence. So, because it shouldn't be like that, really. We should be bigging each other up and showing love and support.
Yeah.
Well, you also made a song with... why did I just forget their fucking name? Red... starts with R.
So it's with R.
What's that, the boy, that band too? They're from New Zealand.
Oh, Drax Project.
Drax, mm-hmm. Drax.
Yeah, we've worked with them quite a lot actually.
Yeah. they're from. Sorry. they're from New Zealand. Yep. Yeah, they're from New Zealand too.
Yeah.
And like, how did they get up there? Like, you obviously support each other and.
Yeah, well, why not?
So there is. I feel like and plus Mitch.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of doing that.
We've laid down kind of the beginnings of that. Like obviously, Much and Marlon working with the Drax Project, writing for them. Eli and I developed and produced his latest album. So nice. we've definitely started that process of helping.
Yeah.
Helping these young artists and these new talents not only develop but jump a lot of the hurdles that were put in front of us that no one helped us with, that we kind of had to bulldoze through. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hear, like, I'm only looking on this, there's a lot of, like, shit that happens in the music industry, huh? It's real?
Well, you know what, Alex? We were, when we came through, I think people resisted us a lot because we were these dudes who played rugby and just picked up guitars and wrote songs and became successful. And the status quo that was in the industry, it was just so foreign to them that they, of course you're going to resist it because here's this little industry that
so that's how you were looked at from the, the music
there's
industry.
Nothing, yeah. There's nothing, we were just not your typical musicians, you know? Didn't know how to do shit, didn't know how to write songs, anything.
See,
we just
that's
did
new
it.
To me because you're like the best musicians ever. So to hear that, it's like, so that's how you were kind of portrayed when you first come into the...
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like shit to all them.
Straight up. Eat shit. And we just went about because we knew what we wanted to do and we just became relative outsiders, to be honest. And you know, for whatever reason, bro, they'd labeled us as just like a Māori band that wouldn't do anything more than just be that, and couldn't go any further. And
swear.
And so all this kind of shit there, and it was just strange to us. But you know, that Tall Poppy has historical reasons too. You know, like in Australia and New Zealand are similar in this with that kind of colonial mindset. You know, it was. Australia and New Zealand were tipped as places you could go, and it was no class system. You know, that's the reason we have uniforms in our high schools, because there's no visible class system amongst the people, and so that is very much enshrined in the culture.
Is that why we have uniforms?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. So
I didn't even have a proper school uniform either. I didn't even know that.
And so it's deep. It's entrenched. You know, and so you can imagine how deep it is and how long it's actually going to take to break that system. Mm. But, you know, it's still worth an attempt. And if we can make a tiny little corner of it, that's a happy and a good place for people to develop and feel creatively strong, then we're going to do that. We want to provide that.
Mm.
Mm. Just like we provide it for each other, you know?
100.
Yeah.
Mm. You make me proud.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Thanks, brother.
Make me feel like studying.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's learning's key, eh? You know, that's where your growth comes. As you know, like
I've been trying to read.
Yep.
Like I'm not like try. I can read, but it's more like sticking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One or two really pages cool. And start getting like.
Yeah.
We've got a couple questions that we asked.
Yep.
Man, I think this delay's got him bad. But we've got a couple questions that we normally ask at the end of our.
Yeah, sweet.
Shoot, bro.
I would ask questions if I knew them, but
I feel like he's saying something.
His lips are moving.
Try and guess.
His lips are moving, but can't hear anything.
I think it's like, who are five people you would have dinner with, dead or alive?
Okay.
I think that's one
question. Five people I'd have dinner with.
Yeah, dead or alive.
All at once, they're all together in the same room.
Yeah, you can do groupies, you can do whatever, singles, whatever, up to you.
Oh, man.
I only remember the typical ones, you know?
I only remember this question because everyone can't, it takes ages, so that's how I remember.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Who's up there on my list of people? Like Prince would be cool.
That would be cool.
James Brown would be cool.
The party.
Yeah. You want it to be able to have a nice civil dinner and then you want it to be able to pop off if it has to, you know?
You get like Socrates or someone, but he'd probably smell like shit.
Who?
Yeah. He'd be a bore. Yeah, Plato.
Yeah.
Shush, bro.
Jimi Hendrix. That'd be great.
That'd be cool.
Probably be on drugs the whole time, though. You know?
Aretha Franklin would be cool. Just someone you could all jam with. You know,
maybe someone, someone who would like really party. So
obviously,
though,
the people I'd pick to jam with.
Yeah, the people I'd like to sing with.
Yeah,
Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Prince. You know, some fighters would be cool. I mean, Ali would be amazing, but I wonder if he'd just be a bit heavy too.
Like, do you reckon right, when he speaks, so he'd just be like saying all like,
yeah, he'd be like, "We get it, just kill the politics, bro. Just trying to have a good time."
He'd probably talk. Like, to the room and not to you the whole night.
Do you think Floyd would be fun at a dinner party? He'd be a bit too serious.
Do you reckon he'd show you any money?
He'd have to bring the bag, eh? That'd be one of the requirements. Yeah. You could come if you bring your bag of money.
And you pay for dinner.
Yeah. Obviously paying for dinner.
Is Tice gone? Well, gone. I think there's 4 other questions, but...
all good, bro.
No good from me.
All good.
Any other questions?
Nah, man.
Answer yourselves.
Bro, I really appreciated talking to you, and I wish you all the best on your journey, man.
All the best,
like, it is a pleasure to watch you scrap.
I'm not going to be able to be here on the weekend.
Yeah, but we'll see you again next time we're out here, or next time you're back home, or
I'm always in the
States, maybe.
Yeah.
When are you there?
For probably early next year, I think we'll head over.
Anytime you want to go to a show, just put the bat signal up, man. Sort it out.
We're on. Don't say that because everyone's going to ring me up. Hey, give me my tickets.
No, he's gonna thank you guys. Like, hey, can you get 10 tickets for the film?
Hey, 44 tickets, please. Hey, guys, thank you for coming on. You. Really appreciate it. Everyone, 660, Machu, Jai, thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks, brother.
Much love.